This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Indiana Republican Senator Dan Coats. He joins me now from a radio row on Capitol Hill, where Republican members of the U.S. Senate are trying to build support for the Cut, Cap, and Balance Act, which passed the House on Tuesday night. And a major hallmark of that, of course, is a push for a new amendment to the U.S. Constitution demanding and really mandating a balanced budget, which is the case for 49 out of 50 states as well. And, Senator, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You have just returned to the Senate, but you were there the last time this issue came up and fell just one vote short from actually heading to the states. Compare where we stood then and now and how this changes the urgency on this issue.
Then, this was during the 90s, 95 and 97, we had two shots at the balanced budget amendment. Had bipartisan support. We ended up with 66 votes, one short of what's necessary to send it to the states. I have, from the very beginning of my involvement in politics, supported a balanced budget amendment because I've reaffirmed what I had always thought, and that is unless there is a hammer there to make sure that Congress and legislators follow the wishes of the people and do what they say they promise to do and actually get it done without excuses, you need a balanced budget constitutional amendment. We need something where you put your left hand on a Bible and raise your right hand and swear to uphold the Constitution. And if that Constitution tells you you can't spend more than you take in, then you're obligated to do that. As you said, almost all of our states have this in place. Every family has it in place. That's solvent. Every business that can stay in business has it in place. Federal government needs to do what everybody else needs to do, and that is not spend more than they take in.
Senator, back then, of course, Republicans were in control of the U.S. Senate. That's not the case now, but it seems as though, even with a relatively close margin between Republicans and Democrats, that there's not as much consensus between the two parties on this. Is it just a matter of politics, or do you think the ideology's changed over the past 15 years?
Well, you know, the situation's even more dire today than it was in the 90s. In the 90s, we actually had some surpluses, which would have been an ideal time to send this to the states for ratification. We would not be in the situation we're in now had we done so. Right now, we're facing a dire financial future. And without a balanced budget amendment, we're not going to convince investors around the world or the American people who buy treasury bonds and treasuries that they can count on their government not to run them into deep, deep debt and perhaps even into default. And so the situation today requires it even more to gain credibility and reassure people that America is a safe place to invest, that the dollar will stay strong. So, you know, you're right. We don't have every Republican in the United States Senate is going to vote for a balanced budget amendment, all 47 of us. But because the Constitution says to amend it, you have to have a two-thirds vote. We have to get votes from 20 Democrats. We'll see where they come down. Looks like we're going to have this vote on Saturday. But I just urge everybody who's listening to this show to call your senator and basically say, do what the House has done. Put us on a sound fiscal path by passing a balanced budget amendment.
You were also in Congress during the Reagan administration, and just this week, the Democrats have accused the Republicans of playing games and have pulled out this clip, which I'm sure you've heard, of the president saying that the responsible thing, of course, is to raise the debt ceiling so that America can meet its obligations and so forth. What do you make of the Democrats resorting to quotes from the former president, Ronald Reagan, to make their case?
Well, I mean, they're taking very selective quotes. I was here during that time. Ronald Reagan said, listen, these guys before us that were here running this place ran up bills that now have obligations that have to be paid. But what we have to do, he went right on without a pause saying, but we've got to get our fiscal procedures in balance here so that this doesn't happen again. And it's happened over and over and over since then. And now we're at a point where we are in dire fiscal shape and the markets may downgrade our credibility, which is going to raise our interest rates and cost the taxpayer even more money to pay off that interest. If they will take up what Ronald Reagan said immediately following that was, this has to be accompanied, any kind of raise, if it happens, has to be accompanied by a serious plan to not get us in this situation again.
One of the issues that's making headlines lately, of course, is this Gang of Six proposal, which apparently, at least the broad parameters were released on Tuesday. The president almost immediately going before the cameras to say that this was essentially a framework that matched what he was envisioning for dealing with the nation's debt situation. A lot of House Republicans saying there are essentially tax increases in here. despite the lowering of marginal rates, and that means it's a non-starter in the House. So still seems to be a little bit of divide within the party on this. Where do you come down from based on what you know right now?
Well, we're trying to flesh all this out. One thing I am working very, very hard to do is make sure that we incorporate comprehensive tax reform in whatever plan that we come up with. There's a growing consensus that without tax reform, with our tax code, we are not going to be able to solve this problem. I am sponsoring, actually with a Democrat, a bill that does that, that does not raise taxes. It's revenue neutral. It lowers rates. It eliminates some of these egregious subsidies and spending expenditures. That is not a tax in doing so. And you can use that to lower rates. We've got to make our country more competitive to compete with competitors worldwide. Right now, we're 35 out of 36 is the highest corporate tax rate in the world. And we're getting underbid by a lot of people around the world making the same products that we do. So if we want to get people back to work, if we want to get our economy moving again, whatever plan we come forward with to address this deficit situation ought to include a mandate that we have tax reform.
The other idea that's been floated out there, as you know, Senator, and the President said he would at least consider it if necessary, is the option put forward by your leader, Mitch McConnell. Basically, if the cut, cap, and balance does not go through, he says in order to avoid default and raising taxes, that he'd be in favor of giving the President the power to raise the debt ceiling three times to the tune of about $2.5 trillion over the next couple of years. There would be corresponding spending cuts, and it would take two-thirds in both chambers to stop the President from doing so, which means you could be on the record as against it but not actually stop it. Some say this is the best of horrible options. Others say that this is just abdicating. So where do you come down if it comes to that?
Well, first of all, anything the President endorses, I immediately have suspicions about in terms of what his motives are and why he endorses it. He's playing a game of politics in 2012 re-election right now. So if he thinks this is good, I got to look at this from the other side and say, let's dissect this and make sure that he's not getting us gamed on this, or somehow they've figured out a way to bend around the rules and what it imposes. But secondly, I think we have to extract from the President and the White House a credible plan to address our debt and deficit before we give him any authority to raise the debt ceiling. This is our leverage. And, you know, I'm looking at a number of plans, Gang of Six, which doesn't directly relate to debt ceiling, the McConnell plan, cut, cap, and balance, constitutional amendment to balance the budget, all of these. I think we need to have a quid pro quo here, that we're not going to raise that debt ceiling without a very, very substantial effort to turn this country around, get us on the right fiscal track, and that's going to require some tough decisions, but very necessary decisions. So that's where I am on every plan that's out there right now.
Exit question for you, Senator. You mentioned you need some verification that they're serious about reducing debt and deficits. What specifically would you need to see before you truly believe that they're on page with that?
Well, in general, the tests are this. Number one, we have to have substantial cuts enacted with very tough enforcement rules, so that we make sure it's not just the promises, but actually has to be accomplished. This government spends too much. We know that. We are running our nation deep into debt at an unprecedented rate. And until we cut back our bureaucracy, until we cut back spending, that absolutely is the first. Secondly, I want, obviously, as I said, comprehensive tax reform as part of that package. I mentioned that it has to have very tough enforcement, and it ought to be backed up by a balanced budget amendment. So this cut, cap, and balance is the way to go. I don't know that we can pass it in the Senate. If we can't, we've got to turn to Plan B. I'm looking at various efforts there. But again, the time to address this problem is now, and we're doing it for the future of America, for the future of America's workers, for all those people that are out of work and unemployed, to get our economy moving again, get them back to work, and it won't happen until we address this out-of-control spending, and that absolutely has to be number one priority.
Senator, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
I'm pleased to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Indiana Republican Senator Dan Coats. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.